Well, we are continuing in our series on the Red Letter Challenge, and I ask for your grace again today just because I'm still fighting this cold off, whatever this is, this thing in my chest. So if I have a coughing attack during the service, just bear with me, okay? But as we continue through the service today, we are reminded of the fact on why we are actually talking about the Red Letter Challenge and why you keep focused on this. And the idea is this, is that by putting God's word literally into practice, that you will find the life that God has made for you. That the words that are there in your Bible that are read, the words that Jesus spoke, are words that each of us should take in and understand, because they're there for a reason. They're there for us to take those in and to understand them. And what we talked about the first week is this idea that we are Jesus' representatives in the world, and that the problem is that we haven't been representing him well. Because really, there's little difference between us as Jesus followers and the rest of the world in terms of our lifestyle, our attitudes, and our behaviors. And so we haven't really been representing him well. We haven't been paying attention to those red letters, and we are called now as a challenge to sort of look at those and understand those. See, very often, Jesus that we represent is not the one that actually is given to us in the Scriptures. And so the idea is today is that we would actually continue to look at those and be focused on these five targets or principles that Jesus lays out in the red letters of the Bible. The idea of being with Jesus and spending time with him in his word and in prayer and just quiet time with him. We've talked about that already. This idea of forgiving as well, as we know that Jesus is the one who came to earth so that we could have forgiveness. And because of that, we also are called to forgive one another and to forgive people in this world. And last week we did that as we dropped our rocks, if you remember, and sort of took a posture of forgiveness with people in this world. Today we're going to talk about serving. And we're going to continue as well into next weekend as we talk about giving and going as well. But these five targets are what Jesus calls us to really look at and focus on. These are the five things that Jesus really concentrates his words on throughout the Scripture. These are the things that he wants us sort of to understand and focus on as we live a life of discipleship, his representatives in this world. And so as we talk about this today, we're going to talk about serving. And serving is something that doesn't always come easy for us. You know, I found that out just this past week as I actually had to replace our garbage disposal. It was not something I wanted to do. But Cheryl, you know, kept saying to me, we've been a week without this thing working. We can't even use that sink. Come on, you've got to get this fixed. And I fought it because I just didn't want to do it. Now, I'm just being honest here. I'm a broken human being just like you, okay? I'm not the best husband at times. I fail at that as well at times. But I just did not, I wasn't feeling well, and the last thing I wanted to do was dig underneath the sink and replace the garbage disposal. So I started to do it on Friday late afternoon, and you know, I looked at it online. It looked easy. There was no problem in this, right? I can do that. Well, probably about 10 o'clock Friday night, I finished it, okay? It took a lot longer than I thought it would take because I didn't have the right things. I had to go to, you know, Home Depot and get it. It went actually okay, but it didn't go great. And when Cheryl actually saw it was fixed, you know, I sat there expected, hey, what do you think? She said, you know, the lights in the closet in our bedroom need to be fixed too. You know, at first I was like, what the heck? You know, but then I thought about it and I thought, you know what, you're right. The lights have been out not working right in our closet for some time. I probably should fix that too. But my attitude and my motivation was really not what it needed to be. I mean, here my wife is, who loves me, has been with me for 32 years, right? That's just marriage and 5 years plus that when we were dating. She's loved me all these years. She's supported me unbelievably well. She actually comes and serves me better than anybody else by cleaning dishes that I hate to do, right? And cooking meals and all the stuff that she does because she loves me. And she does this out of love for me. So why can't I just go fix the lights out of love for her? But for some reason, it just wasn't there. The idea of serving and doing that at this time was not really what I wanted to do. I mean, I want her, and I want to serve her because I love her. I want to serve her because I love her, because I know how much she loves me, and I know how much she has done for me. I want to serve her because of how well she has loved me, right? And I want to serve her so that she knows how well I can love her too. But at times, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, I'm probably not the best home fix-it guy, but at least I get it done eventually. See, when it comes to serving and serving God, I believe that motivation behind what we do is as important as what we do. And I believe that that's sort of the way I need to look at things as well. What is the motivation on why I am serving others, especially my wife? See, I believe that Jesus is more interested in us fulfilling the spirit of the law than the letter of the law at times. And I believe that we all need to know what is going on here, and that truly here at Our Savior's, we are serving and we are making a difference in this community. And that's why we are actually, though, focused on this 40-day challenge of putting Jesus' words into action and into practice, so that we can actually serve and live out what he's calling us to do just a little bit more. And that we truly understand what Jesus has done for us and the ways that he has served us, that he has given his life for us, that we are extremely then motivated because of what he has done for us to represent him well in this community and all around. See, we aren't doing this challenge out of some guilt or obligation. We aren't doing this challenge by gritting our teeth and just saying we're going to get it done. We're doing this challenge from our hearts, knowing what Jesus has done for us, and because of that, we want to live out the words that he gives us more and more. We love Jesus, and we want the greatest people in this world to also follow Jesus, those that don't know him yet. And so we look at these five categories that we talked about, and we look at how do we actually live these better. And today we're going to talk about serving much more. See, all of this flows this way. And this is why we've started this whole process this way. It starts with us being with Christ. And by being with Christ and listening to his words and understanding what he says to us, then we are much able to see how much he loves us and how important we are to him and how he has graciously and freely then forgiven us. And by understanding how much he has freely forgiven us and understanding all that he has done for us, we are then motivated to put his words into practice and into action. In other words, we are able to go forward and live serving Jesus and serving other people in this world. Does that make sense? See, serving is what we're talking about. And we all want to serve Jesus because he served us first. The idea of service is something that is important. It's inside of all of us, believe it or not. We all like the idea of serving. Because sometimes, though, we just don't want to. Is that fair? I remember I've signed up for service projects or put things into action here for our rhythm events that we've had. And when Friday night comes up, and I know Saturday morning is that event, the thing I think is, geez, why did I do that? I mean, I'd rather stay in bed than get up and serve. Why would I sign up for something like that? Why did I do that? I mean, I'm just being honest, as a broken person in this world, we all think that way when we think about service, don't we? But what I usually do is I force myself to get up, go and do that event or that service project or whatever it may be. And when I serve, guess what I find out? Once I'm there, that it's actually great. There's actually fun in it most of the time, not all the time. But at the end of the day, I'm happy I went and I actually did it. But so many times we get tempted just to say no and stay where we're at and not step out and actually serve and realize that at the end of the day, it's a great thing. And we know that we can have fun doing it because actually that's who we are. See, some of you may be familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Anybody familiar with that? It's this whole idea of Abraham Maslow actually came up with this and said, these are the ways that we are sort of built, that people are motivated to do certain activities or needs that you have in your life. And it starts out with the lowest needs on the bottom that you see on the screen are sort of physiological needs, that we all need air and water and food and shelter and sleep and rest and those kind of things, right? And that once we have those, then we can move up in this hierarchy of needs. That we can move up to safety and personal security and all the things that are there. And once we have that, and we have safety and we have food and everything, we can move up to the next level, which is love and belonging, where we have friendship and intimacy and a sense of connection. And once we're there, we can move up into that green area, the area called esteem, where there we can have respect and self-esteem and status and recognition in this world as well. And the highest level that he came up with was self-actualization, the desire to become the most that one can be. The most that one can be. It's interesting when you hear that because that's what I think all of us strive for, is to be the most that we can be. I mean, this is self-actualization, that you're meeting your full potential, you might think about that. But see, since this tool has come out, that they actually have identified sort of new areas that actually go above this. And there's actually been three other levels of this pyramid that have been added to this. And the highest one that you can get to is what is called transcendence need. Transcendence need. That once you've reached self-actualization, that that's not where you actually stop. That where we actually meet our full potential is that when we actually bring the most fulfillment to us is actually when we actually help others find fulfillment in their lives. It's actually when we help other people reach their highest potential. That's actually when we find that that's the highest need that we have. That we help them get to the best potential that they can actually be, that they can actually fulfill their needs and get to the highest level themselves. So really what it's telling us is that when we reach our highest level of potential is when we actually serve others and help them get to their highest level of potential. Isn't that interesting? And if you think back to your life, the times that you've actually helped someone achieve and get further than what they ever thought they could get, wasn't that your most rewarding time in your life? I mean, this fits. That nothing fulfills you more than serving others. That there's nothing there that serves us others. That really, it's serving others and making sure that we understand that there's something bigger than ourselves that is at place in this world. See, our purpose will always flow out of our identity. The Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus was, in fact, a servant. He actually says to his disciples at one point that he didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve, and to serve us. As believers, we know that God's Spirit lives inside of us as well. We receive it here at the body and blood of Christ as we receive Jesus into us, that we truly know that Jesus is alive in us as well. And if we are made in the image of God, then we are his servants, and we represent him best in this world when you and I are serving. That's when we represent him best. We represent him best in this world when each of us serve. See, that's part of our identity in Christ. It's our God-given identity to actually be about service and serving to one another. Our new identity in Christ has been given to us in our baptism. And it is through that baptism that we are given all that Christ has had and all that he gives to us. And it is there that we are able to say truly that we are his disciples and that we are then able to do exactly what he has called us to do, which is to serve in this world and represent him. It's interesting because this is what he talks about with the disciples when he first meets them. What does he say to the disciples before he actually does anything in this world, before he actually does any ministry at all? He goes to them and he says, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." See, we see so clearly in the gospel that when Jesus first calls his disciples to leave what they are doing and follow him, that he is calling them into a life of discipleship and service. He says that he would transform their identities into a new identity and the ability for them to change men's lives, to fish for other men, just as he has changed them. See, this is really important for us to understand, that when Jesus says, "Come follow me," he's talking about follow me in the service that I'm doing and actually serve yourself as well. Serve others in this world, because that is your new identity. Just as fish swim and birds fly, we are living so that we can serve and serve one another. And that if you're unhappy, it's probably because you're not serving and you're actually not living to your full identity. The interesting thing, though, is this is hard for us. And the reason we struggle with this so much, walking in this new identity that God has given us, is because of the culture that is all around us. Our culture leads us to be only consumers and not contributors in this world. We live in a culture that certainly understands consumption, but struggles with the idea of contribution. And oftentimes, we cater to consumers and to consumerism. I heard a speaker once talk about this, and I wrote down his notes, and here's what he said. "A company will perform their quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, saving, performance, experience, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantees, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trials, and free parking. No cash, no problem. No kidding, no fuss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden fees, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments until September, and don't forget to pick up your free gift. A classy, deluxe, custom designer, luxury, prestige, high-quality, premium, one-of-a-kind pencil holder. Yours for the asking. No purchase necessary." Why? Because you are important to us. I mean, isn't that truly what our culture is all about? The American mindset is that the customer is always right, and business and restaurants try to make it easy for possible consumers to come and just get it their way. I mean, think about the Burger King slogan, right? I've mentioned this before in my sermon. The Burger King slogan is what? Have it your way, right? That's exactly right. I mean, we've turned into consumer-minded people in a consumer-minded nation. We've even turned into a consumer-minded church and consumer-minded Christians. Unfortunately, this consumer mindset has made its way right into this church and all churches. I'm not saying that you should not go and find a church that God has called you to be part of a place that is changing this culture. That's not what I'm saying. But there are people who are never happy. They're never happy with the preaching, never happy with the worship, never happy with the music that's being sung, never happy with the youth ministry that's being done or the home groups that are happening. And they change churches because they just are looking for that consumer mindset. They never find quite what they're looking for. And please hear my heart here for just a minute. You've been made by God to serve and to live for something bigger than yourself. The reason that you are getting nothing out of church is because your view of church is wrong. Church is not a business that is called to meet your every need. Church is a movement of people that have been called to serve. And guess what? You are one of those people that form the church. Church is not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And we are called to serve, not to sit back and be served. See, the people of the church is what forms the church. Completely missing the purpose of the church is what happens in our churches today. We forget what the role of the church is truly here for. It's not for our entertainment. It's for service in the community and to one another. And those are the things that we need to look at. And I believe that as you start looking at church that way and you start getting yourself plugged in and serving somewhere in the church or out in the community, that suddenly those things that start bothering you will suddenly fade away. Because suddenly they won't seem that important any longer. See, there's a well-known story in John chapter 4 where Jesus stops to talk to a Samaritan woman at the well. And here, stopping and talk to her would have broken all kinds of cultural ideas and barriers at the time anyways. But there is this little bit of the story that comes after the woman actually leaves that sometimes we miss and we forget about. And we don't understand really what it says. But this is when the disciples actually come back from being in town. They went into town to grab some food, and they came back now to Jesus at the well. And here's what the discourse actually says. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him as they came back, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." I mean, they're thinking, how is this possible? How is this possible that Jesus has food? He's been here at the well. We're the ones that went away. I mean, Pizza Hut couldn't have delivered. There's no way that he has food at this place. I mean, what is Jesus talking about? I mean, that's exactly what he says in the next verse, though. He goes on and says this, "Then his disciples said to each other, 'Come, could someone have brought him food?'" They're saying, look, somehow Jesus got food. They didn't get it. So Jesus explains it a little bit further in verse 34. He says, "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." See, essentially Jesus is saying, when others are consuming and thinking of fill me, fill me, fill me, what nourishes me is when I pour into other people and into their lives. The disciples were more worried about consuming at this point, but Jesus was more worried about contributing. He looked out and saw the people from the village that they were coming out to him. And he felt more revitalized and rejuvenated and excited when he knew that he was going to be serving other people. Serving them so that they would be led to faith. Faith in him. See, believe me, there are times to consume. I mean, there's a time to be, as we've discussed as well, and to be with Jesus. And we talked about already that there's a time to have this important relationship with Jesus, but there's also a time for us to do. And I would argue that we have greater fulfillment in contributing than we ever do in consumption. Serving has always been God's plan from the beginning. And you always stick with what works. You stick with the plan that God has created. God sticks to his plan throughout all of Scripture as well. His plan from the beginning was that we would be his representatives. And we haven't done that well. We've completely missed the mark, as we've said. And here in the Red Letter Challenge, we talk about what it is that we need to do. And he says from the beginning what his plan is, and he calls out to the people, and we know that they also struggled with this as well, because he says to the Israelites, he says this, "You yourselves have seen what I do to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." He called them specifically to represent him for the sake of the rest of the world, to that they would grow and obey God, that they would be prosperous, and that they would point to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who is our God as well. But we know what happened, right? The Israelites completely failed. And when they failed, God sent Jesus to show what that truly looks like to do it right. What is the model for us and what life in God completely looks like? Where Israel failed, Jesus did not. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled every dot and tittle that there is there. And every letter of the law he fulfilled perfectly. And then he ascended, and the 12 disciples were there when that happened. And Peter would write these words that sound eerily similar to the words we just heard from Exodus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, again, he calls us his chosen people. That you and I are a royal priesthood. And a priest is someone who mediates between God and the people. That we are called, just like the Israelites, to be the light of the world for Jesus. And the fact is that we are exactly that, as he says in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." See, I bring this all up to show you that from the beginning, you are God's plan. That we are invited into this whole idea to walk with God. That you are the plan, and by the way, there is no plan B. This is the plan for us to be his representatives, for us to serve him in this world and in this place. And if we're honest, we'd probably say, "God, why would you choose me, a broken, fickle person like I am? Why would you choose me when I can't even serve my wife the way I need to?" But yet he chooses us. He chooses us to be a part of that. And what an amazing thing, isn't it? That God thinks so much of you and me that he has built his plan on us to be the representatives of this world, to serve others so that they may know who Jesus is. And the whole idea is we don't do works of good works and service so that we can earn salvation. We know that that's not what we do, that there is nothing that we can do to earn salvation at all. Jesus is the one who has done that for us. And out of a response for him, we are motivated to serve. And the great thing is even though we can't save ourselves, that you cannot save yourself, but you can help to save someone else. And that's the motivation that we have. And what an opportunity that is for us to see service as an opportunity to save other people through sharing God's love and grace with them as we live the love of Jesus. And I don't want anyone out here saying, "You know what? I don't know where to serve." I mean, if some reason you're struggling to find where there's a place to serve, here's my advice. Find a group of people that you feel are living a life of service. Look around and see where people are living a life of service, where they see that they have a life of purpose larger than themselves, and guess what? Join them. Join them. Whether it's in the children's ministry, whether it's actually being a leader in the church, whether it's actually serving on the praise team or on the choir or somewhere else here, join them. Just jump in and join them. And I believe that when you join them here at Our Savior's, that as we lift high the name of Jesus together through the service that we have, that it is in serving him that you will find great pleasure and great, great success. Amen. That we would be grateful for that and that we could represent Jesus in all that we do. See, the motivation for this is really what Jesus has done for us already. You've heard me say I love the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, it is the model that Jesus gave us as he humbled himself, even though he didn't have to. He took the form of a human being and humbled himself in service to you and I so that we could have everything. He gave everything about himself in service to us. And all he asks us to do is to join him in the work that he's already doing right here and in this place by being in service to one another. May the Spirit lead you today to find a place to serve. May the Spirit lead you today to understand the red letters that are there of Jesus calling us to serve and to be his representatives in this place and in this world. And may through that, the Spirit lead us to make a huge difference in this community in the name of Jesus as we magnify his name and more people know who he is. It is in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that you give us. And Lord, we are amazed that you truly call us to be your disciples. That, Lord, you have called us a holy nation. And Lord, we know that that is only possible because of what you have done for us. So Lord, today we just ask that you would continue to lead us and guide us, Lord, so that we could be your disciples in this place. So that, Lord, we could truly make a difference in this community. And that, Lord, we could serve you more and more as we serve each other. We say thank you, Lord, for the fact that you take each of us as broken people and that we are your plan. It's humbling to think that. But, Lord, help us to fulfill that plan you have for us in service to one another. As we live the love of Jesus each and every day, we pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Well, as we continue today, we